Even 2,000 years removed, the image effortlessly captures our imagination. There is a desperate family far from home. There are no friendly faces. There are few helping hands. The closest thing to shelter the family has been able to find is a stable behind an inn, a rough-hewn thing suitable only for animals. And we like to envision those animals as doe-eyed Disney cartoons. But in reality, they and the darkness and the dirt mock this vulnerable family in their most vulnerable moment. She is young, and she is scared because the baby is coming. He is frustrated and panicked because he can't figure out how to make things safe and right. Events have outpaced the couple's ability to manage them. Things are happening to them now. And all they can do is allow these things to transpire. Friends, I'm going to admit something on all of our behalf. What an ugly year we've just lived. It's one of the worst years on record for worldwide natural disasters. Did you know that? It included earthquakes in Taiwan and Burma and New Zealand and Italy. Not to mention the devastating floods just to the east of us in Louisiana, where 13 people were killed and thousands lost their homes. Acts of terror in such places as Nice in the south of France, which intends to be a place of unguarded rest. And just this week, at the Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial Square in Berlin, where my own liturgical music professor was among the wounded, and which exists as a monument to the very futility of violence, an election cycle that brought out the very worst in us. Maybe the nativity story still so captures us because its anxiety and its frustration and its panic are emotions with which we can relate. We're having trouble figuring out how to make things safe these days and right. Events seem to have outpaced our ability to manage them. Things are happening to us, and we can't seem to do anything but allow them to transpire. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow is perhaps America's greatest poet. He was born in 1807 of solid colonial stock and to means that allowed him to travel the world before adulthood. He studied languages, and he taught first at Bowdoin College and then at Harvard. Through his work, Longfellow was celebrated and enjoyed both fame and great monetary reward. And then in 1861, as happened to all Americans, events outpaced the ability to manage them. The Civil War erupted from the nation's cauldron of sectional resentment. And then, 2 months after the firing on Fort Sumter, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's wife and the mother of his 6 children struck a match that accidentally caught her dress on fire. Despite Longfellow's attempt to put out the flames with his own body, his wife died. His own face was so scarred with burns that he wore a heavy beard for the rest of his life. Less than 2 years after that, Longfellow's eldest son, Charles, volunteered to join the Union Army. Charles was commissioned a second lieutenant. And in late November of that year, he was shot through the shoulder with the bullet skimming his spine. Charles was very nearly paralyzed. Henry Longfellow tended to his son during a long and difficult recuperation, and so, for the second time in as many years, Longfellow was frustrated and panicked because he couldn't figure out how to make things safe and right for those he most loved. Things were happening to them, and all Longfellow could seem to do was allow those things to transpire. And then, on the morning of that December 25th, in the midst of his uncertainty and despair, Longfellow heard the sound of Cambridge's church bells ringing sharply into the air of Christmas Day. Their peal was clear. It pierced through the gloom of grief and wound and war to proclaim that something else, some counterbalance, was at work in the world. Longfellow moved swiftly to his writing desk, and he penned in that moment the beloved poem. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. That poem begins with joy, but its power endures 150 years later because, unlike so many other Christmas poems, it is not syrupy. It is not maudlin. Longfellow does not use the nativity as a gauzy screen to mask the difficulties of life. Almost as soon as he begins, you see, the gloom resettles. The poem goes on. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound, the carols drowned. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Existentially and emotionally, Henry Longfellow has taken us back to Bethlehem, to the stable, to the moments in the midst of Mary's labor when so much can go so horribly wrong, just as everything else had already gone wrong for her and for Joseph on that day. But then, the child emerges. He's born. And with him, something enters the world as clear and as true as the Cambridge bells in the morning air. The baby cries as babies do, and the heavens open, and the angels sing to the shepherds who are struggling with their own nightmares. In this most unassuming of ways, in this common miracle, made cosmically uncommon, God enters the world alive and awake. Back in Cambridge, the second peal of the bells scatters Longfellow's desperate haze. almost by surprise, hope is born anew in him. He doesn't understand it, but he can't help but proclaim it. And the final stanza he writes says, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth God sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." Here at the end of 2016, a year we would just as soon forget. We don't understand it. But here, in the wee hours of this morning, hope is born anew in us. The peal is clear. It may appear that events in the world are merely transpiring, but friends, the truth is that God is not dead, nor does God sleep. God is born into this world today. Hope lives, and so peace on earth, dear friends. Goodwill to you, and very Merry Christmas. Amen.